This is the Best of Interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Welcome back. We're broadcasting today from the Novacare Complex for 94 WIP's Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World RV Sales, Service Parts and Accessories. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillian, joining us right now. Hugh, we got a special guest. We had this guy on last year.
Yeah.
And a year later, he's sitting with us again, this time as
a Super Bowl champion.
That's right. Quinyon Mitchell with us. Quinyon, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good, man. So my question to you is, how, outside of the obvious reasons, how was your offseason different this year as opposed to your first offseason in the NFL?
I don't think it was that much different for real. I took some time off, and then I really just got straight back to it. I was back in Toledo training. And, yeah, that was pretty much it. Pretty much felt the same.
So, wait a minute. You mean to tell me you went back home, well, you went to Toledo to train, and everybody just treated you the same? Nothing changed at all?
I mean, I guess people congratulated me on the Super Bowl or whatnot, but it was pretty much the same vibe as how I always been there.
I like that. We were talking this morning, Quinyon, about the mentality. And does it feel different? I mean, this is your second year in the league, right? You only have 1 year to base it off of. This is year two. Does it feel different when you guys here as champions? Because we heard Nick Sirianni this morning talking about trying to keep it the same, right? Every single day. I know he said he's not allowing you guys to use that R word, right? We're not talking about that, trying to do it again, what that R word means. Does it feel different, or is the day one this year similar to day one last year?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much the same. We just want to take it one day at a time. Don't want to look back at the past. Don't want to look too ahead in the future. Just focus on the day. Focus on the work we did today. Correct the mistakes and just get better.
You know, played a lot of football last year. So, you know, when you talk about the first year in the NFL, playing that 17-game schedule and then the playoff schedule, how does your body feel right now?
I feel good. You know, I've really been taking care of my body, using my resources here and at Toledo. So I feel good.
You know, it's funny because when I played, it was a lot made about the rookie hangover or you know, having that slump in the season. It don't look like you had that. And the question I'm asking you is this: what work regimen did you have, and what steps did you take to help keep your body in tip-top shape during the season?
I'll just say leaning on the veterans, seeing what they do, and trying to mimic that and put it into my own realm. So I just want to thank them for that. We got a great training staff, great trainers who help us be in tip-top shape. So I just want to thank them.
You know what? Speaking of that, Darius Slay, he isn't here anymore. He gone. You know, you talked about he taught you a lot last year. So now do you feel that you have to fill that leadership void?
Yeah, in a way. But I feel like we got leaders all throughout. You know, Cooper, you know, Adoree, Keeley, you know, all guys coming back and really just trying to lead this group, lead the corners.
What's the biggest thing you took from Slay? I mean, he's a guy that seemed to me that all you guys seem to gravitate towards, like really learn from him and respect him. I mean, he's been in the league so long and still playing at a high level. What's the biggest thing in your year with him that you took from Darius?
Just the way he approaches the game, the way he prepares each and every day, like it's game day, whether it's practice, preseason game, a scrimmage, you know, he treats every day the same.
You know, I'm kind of curious because you played so well last year, your rookie year. Didn't hear your name being, you know, called a lot in a bad way. So the question I have for you is, what aspect of your game was that you thought was your weakest, and what did you work on in the offseason to make it better?
I worked on everything. I feel like I need to get better at everything, every aspect.
Trash talking too? Because I heard you like to talk trash.
Yeah, I get better at that too. Man.
We want more of that.
I was just trying to get better at everything, you know, not trying to hit one spot, trying to just perfect my overall game.
Quinyon, take us back. Quinyon Mitchell joining us here as we're at Eagles training. Take us back to the Super Bowl. And we haven't spoken to you since that. We were there at the parade, and we saw you guys having a great time and earning that celebration. What was it like as that game went on? Because you were dominating. I mean, I felt like, as a fan, the game was over in the second quarter. I know you couldn't think that because you're playing it. But what did it feel like? Because it felt like you had their number. You were one. It felt to me like you were one step ahead of them, especially throughout that first half. What was it like to be on the field when you guys, your plan really worked that night?
Yeah, it was really great. You know, it was a great moment that happened for all of us. You know, I feel like we prepared well, and that's why we had the outcome that we had.
It seemed like as the year went on, you just guys got better and better and better on defense. Was there a moment it started to click with Vic Fangio? Because I remember here last year, you were a rookie. Vic spoke, and he said it's going to take time. Did you feel something different as that year went on with your defense? Because it kind of built from, hey, that first month was kind of choppy, and then By the time we got to October, November, December, you guys really started to gel.
Yeah, I want to say after that Tampa game, you know, we just had a look in the mirror. You know, Coach Vic called some guys out. I mean, he called me out, and then we kind of just, like, brought ourselves together after the bye week, and then we just kept rolling.
What's Vic Fangio like in a meeting? Tell us about that.
It's just black and white. I mean, either you're doing your job or you're not. You held up the standard or you're not. So it's
was the words meaning hurtful? Were there a lot of curse words being thrown? That's what Joe wanted to ask you. He didn't know how to ask. Was there a curse words being thrown around, or was it more in more of a respectful way?
No, in a respectful way. Coach, I don't think Coach really cussed like that, honestly. It was in a respectful way.
So as we head into this season, second year in the defense, do you, like, day one today, is it kind of picking up where you left off? Is today kind of going back to base? What's it like after playing in the defense for a full year, now to come back year two? What was today like? Take us through the first practice today.
Today was great, you know, high intensity. We just want to hit the ground running. We, you know, don't want to take no baby steps. I mean, it's here, the season here now, so we just got to keep progressing and keep getting better.
Eagles corner Quinyon Mitchell with us here, first day of training camp. Do you feel in this secondary that you guys, you know, it's a lot of changes. I mean, you guys lost Darius, you lost Slay, also Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. It's a young secondary. Is that exciting for you that you guys can almost gel together and be together for a long time?
Yeah, I think that's the whole defense. You know, we were young, we hungry, and I think the biggest thing is every day we just want to get better. Want to get better each and every day.
So the opener coming up, Cowboys here on September 4th, you get to raise the banner. And they, you know, they acquired George Pickens. They have CeeDee Lamb. Last year, it felt to me watching like you played on one side a lot, Slay played on the other. Is there, you know, in this defense, is that would you expect again to play on your side, or do you think this year maybe at times you might move around with different wide receivers?
I mean, who knows? It's July 23rd, and I mean, we'll just see as the season progresses on.
Is that something you think would be fun, that challenge, to kind of match up with a receiver? Or are you like, hey, this is my, because some corners seem to like playing on a certain side, some corners move around. If it was up to you, what would you do?
I mean, whatever Coach Vic and Coach CP asked me, you know, I'm willing to do.
All right, a full year and then a practice today competing against Devontae and AJ. Take us through some of the battles with that, and how much does it make you a better player? You get to face those guys every day.
I mean, it just makes me so much better. You know, they are the two best in the game. You know, I want to challenge them every day. I was trying to challenge AJ today as much as I could. And they're going to make us better. They're going to make Keely better, Adoree better, you know, whoever on the other side better. And I'm just thankful for them.
Who do you think's winning those battles, you, Quinyon or those guys?
Right now, I think the young buck, I think he got a lot of swagger about him, Joe. So I'm going to go with the young cat on the defense.
I got to throw this at you. So last year, my co-host here, Hugh Douglas, who played defense in the NFL, he was an all-pro, Quinyon. He tried to tell everyone that defense was a luxury, not a necessity.
Yeah. I still stand on that.
Can you tell this guy? I mean, you were on the number one defense of pro football last year that won the Super Bowl. Can you try to help me out here? Because he doesn't see it. It goes in one ear, out the other.
What do you mean by that?
See, Quinyon, this is what they got upset, right? Because,
yeah, of course,
and I broke it down in the simplest terms. Even when you look at our team, right, most of the resources, money, is allocated to the offensive side of the ball. So when I said defense is a necessity, is a luxury, not a necessity, that meant that on this team, most of the defense played well. Never said they didn't play well. But when you look at it, you got a lot of young cats on that defense, and you have a lot of guys, like, say, Zach Bond for a minute. He came into his own, and he balled out. But most of the money is allocated to the offensive side of the ball. Y'all took over last year, no question about that. But the team is built as – more on the offensive side of the ball, and that's what I mean.
See, this is what we call spin. He's trying to spin.
It's not spinning. It's the truth. When you look at
first round pick like this guy, that's a big asset.
Trey Henderson is not. He doesn't have a contract, right?
Right.
Micah Parsons looking for a contract, right? Mm-hmm. Who is the young defensive end that's going back to school from Texas
Shamar Stewart?
So how am I wrong? They don't want to pay the defensive player, but the offensive players ain't got to worry about getting paid. So where tell me, Quinyon, young buck, where am I wrong in my assessment?
I don't know. I just know, like, our defense, we just young and we just hungry. Like, we
and
just
y'all are all under contract.
And they're a necessity to this.
We just want to go get it.
See, he'll want to get off in our mess, man. I had to drag him in
just because I need him to know what you've been saying here. All right, Quinyon, we appreciate you hopping on. Good luck this season. We're expecting another big one, and we're excited to watch you guys play. And good luck in 2025. Thank you, Quinyon.
Thank you.
There he goes. Quinyon Mitchell, Eagles corner, getting ready for year two.
Always being messy, Joe.
Nolan Smith joining us here, Super Bowl champion Nolan Smith. Nolan, how are you, man?
Man, I'm good. I'm good. Just had my first day. It's a little hot out here, but it ain't not much.
So, Nolan, I got to ask the same question I asked Quinyon. How has your offseason changed from last year to this offseason as a Super Bowl champion?
Man, it really nothing to change for me. I kept my head down and kept working on kind of like Coach.
Yeah, I heard
Nick
you at the Pass Rush Summit. Got some good reviews too.
Oh yeah,
from
man.
The Pass Rush Summit. Yeah,
man, just keep my head down and keep working, man, and be hungry, man. I just got to play my part because I'm around an amazing team with amazing players.
So when you first came into the league, you know, people were talking about, you know, it took you a while to get to where you are now. So what happened in your game that you changed that allowed you to be the menace that you are coming off the corner?
Man, I just think about BG telling us every Saturday, take the seatbelt off. You know, just take the seatbelt off, go out there and play, and just have fun. That's all I remember is just trying to have fun, bring the love back to the game because I love the game.
Mm-hmm.
Physically, how are you and where are you? Because you got injured in the Super Bowl. We know the story. You wouldn't come off the field. You kept playing there. But how are you? How was the rehab? And did it affect you getting ready for training camp here?
I'm personally good. You know, mental health is a big part of injuries, man. I'm trying to keep my mental health right. And, you know, I'd say I'm about 75%, but I'm still out here practicing. Got to work on my striking every day and just, you know, build myself back up so I can play, you know, every down like I did.
How different is it for you, because you won a championship at Georgia and you win one in the NFL, and I was there in Georgia when y'all won that one, and I remember how elated everybody was. But how, for you personally, being in Athens and knowing how that felt, how different is it winning a Super Bowl as opposed to winning a championship in college?
Man, I'll say it's like the Thanos moment when he stepped through the portal and he said, at last, my work is done.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, it's kind of like the next thing. Like, they brought him back again to fight him again, and you got to keep going.
Uh-huh.
You just got to keep going. But, you know, it felt like a relief, and then you just really wake up the next day, just like the Natty. Well, that's why we went back-to-back. I woke up the next day like, well, time to go to train for the combine. And it's like that empty feeling, like, I want it again. And you just keep craving it, like kind of like Tom Brady talked about.
Do you think it helps you? Because we were talking to start the show, because sometimes a team – it's rare teams win back-to-back Super Bowls, right? The Chiefs did it, Patriots did it, but, like, it doesn't happen very often. Do you think it helps you and some of the other Georgia guys, Alabama, that this is what you did in college, right? The expectation was you climb that mountain, and then you come back the next summer and you do it again. Do you think it helps you that you played at that kind of program to try to do this again here?
Yeah, it helps that we played at the program because it gives you the mindset to know, man, now we back at the bottom of the mountain. We back at the bottom of the mountain, and we back to work, and it just starts all over. The climb keeps to keep starting.
Did you have to change the way you worked out, being as that, you know, the Super Bowl probably ate into your training time? Did you have to kind of modify your training in the offseason this year?
No, I didn't modify anything. I went straight into it. Like, I kind of got my surgery and just went straight to work. I really didn't take a vacation other than the time I spent with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, I feel like this is like my stomping year, like how I step in the league and how I'm going to be remembered. Like, if I come off a natty, I mean, come off a Super Bowl and, you know, just relax and just be cool, then I'm just another defensive end.
Mm.
Well, you weren't just another defensive end down the stretch last year, especially the postseason. Did something click for you? Was it just more opportunity on the field? I felt around week six, I remember that game against the Browns, you chased Deshaun Watson before you made a throw. I just felt like you started to really come on in October, and then by the end, I mean, you were getting to the quarterback. Did something mentally change for you? Because the first year, you didn't get to play much, right? Then September wasn't great for the whole defense. What changed for you, and if anything, as the last year went on?
Man, I just kept my head down and worked. And that's what I kind of do, you know, be the first one on the field, be the first one off the field, and just continue to work. Man, nothing really changes. You just keep working. You trust your coaches. We got an amazing staff. Coach Sirianni talks. He made me more situational sound, so when I know it's pass and when I know it's run, things I'm looking for. And it was just really fun. Like, it was fun out there playing with those guys, flying around. And Philly Stadium, man, I know they talk about college, but that stadium, our fans are electrifying. It's giving me goosebumps right now hearing them on third down.
Yeah, that's the money down right
there. Yeah,
here.
You guys know it is. All right. Nolan, when you were first drafted, I think we had you on, like, the morning after you were drafted by the Eagles. When we talked to you and I heard you and watched interviews, you reminded me of Brandon Graham, personality-wise. And now, you know, there's a path for you here to kind of take that mantle from what he did for a long time and to be a guy that is a kind of a linchpin of this defense. When I say that, when you get compared to Brandon Graham and have a chance to be like Brandon Graham, what does that mean to you?
Man, it's a tremendous respect, but like I tell anybody when I love Georgia, man, it's hard to fill somebody's shoes, and it's even harder if you try. And I can only take his teachings and what he given from me and just keep going with it. Be encouraging, be the uplifting guy, never bring anybody down, tell everybody to keep going, especially on hot days, first days of pass and stuff like that. Just be the energy and the spark. As I can't be him because he played 15 years in the league, and that's something amazing. That's what I'm aiming for. So,
what's the number? You know what I'm asking.
Yeah.
What's the number?
I can't tell it out loud.
Yeah, all right, dude. Well, you can tell me in the break because I have a number in my head.
What's your number?
I'm thinking 10 to 12.
That's a good number.
Yeah.
But that's on the low side.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
I
respect.
I ain't saying nothing else.
No, you don't have to. You know, and you know what? Now I have to let everybody in because everybody probably don't understand the conversation.
Don't let them in. Okay, don't let them in. Just keep it like that. Keep it like that.
All right. Maybe I can speak without letting everyone in. What was your high? Was it 15?
15.
Well, that's the goal then. You got to beat Hugh Douglas. I mean,
you
got to beat Hugh.
Pop. They call me Pop. Yeah,
you
got
to beat the old man. I mean, you got to beat Hugh.
Oh, no, man. I don't never call them old men, man. They respect the game, and it's always going to respect you.
Appreciate you. See, now that don't work like that around these parts.
Nah,
they call me old every chance.
Come on. Oh, man. You know, I learned a lot from the better veteran guys and stuff like that. So I really appreciate, you know, y'all bringing me on too.
Oh, no, man. You got it in you, man. And you're going to be fine. I'm still curious. I'm going to ask you off the air. I want to know what the number is because you really came on towards the end of the year. You really, really did. And you got to keep it going.
Yep.
Nolan, what's it like playing for Vic Fangio?
Man, Vic Fangio, one of the best coaches ever. He's hard on us every day, but he's hard on us because he see the vision and the goal. And when he first got here, everybody in the locker room like, oh, he hates us. And, you know, at Georgia, we used to DCs like that. Like, everybody get corrected the same. Everybody getting pushed the same. And I just think it's amazing, like, for him to be in a city and stuff that he like. And, you know, I wear Philly hats every day just because I'm in the city of Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big baseball fan, and, you know, I love B. Harper and them boys. Like, I brought a jersey, and he just compliments my Philly hat every day.
Is
he
that right?
Never,
yeah, he's a big
he don't never
Philly
go
fan.
In there and not notice just the little minute details. So I can only imagine him upstairs with our coaches.
That's cool.
It sounds like we got to get you thrown out of first pitch at a big game this October.
Oh, man, I wish. I got.
Yeah, they can make. We know people.
Yeah.
We can probably make
that
happen.
Make that happen. Nolan, listen, man, we appreciate hopping in, and good luck this season. And listen, we're expecting big things. Whatever that number is, we think you're going to get there. Thank you for being part of the show. Congrats again for being a Super Bowl champ.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for having me.
There he goes, Nolan Smith.
One of the stalwarts of Philadelphia sports for a really, really, really long time now. He has won two Super Bowls with the Eagles. He is a player that I believe will and should be a future Hall of Famer. But it's not about the past, because I know the messaging with Nick Sirianni and the Eagles, it's about the next couple months, not the last couple of years. We welcome the great Lane Johnson to our program today. Lane, good morning to you, bud.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you, pal?
Doing good. Kick off our first practice today, so excited.
Woo! We're excited for you, man.
Yeah.
We are, you know, I'm just going to say, you're not going to say it, but we had a Sixers and Flyers season, not so good. So we're looking forward for you guys to cranking it up, obviously. And with the talent on this squad, you have a great shot. So, Lane, let's go back to last night. We actually have the audio. I want to play this, and then we'll get your sense of it. But we haven't played this yet for our audience. We have the audio of Nick Sirianni yesterday. I don't know if it was last night or yesterday afternoon, but addressing you guys. Little snippet of what he said, setting the tone for the coming season. Here was Sirianni yesterday.
So, first I want to say the celebration is over. Okay? The celebration is over. Preparation is here. Celebration is over. Preparation is here. As we continue through here, last year, as we came into the 2024 season, there was a lot that we talked about of handling adversity. Now, it's a little different. You got to handle success, right? It's a different animal, right? You got to handle success. Everyone right now, right, for the guys that have been here, are telling you how good you are. Treat praise like perfume. Sniff it, don't drink it. It's poison.
What was it like, Lane, to be in that room as he delivered? Because he's got his mantras, can't be great without the greatness of others, right? The whole So last night or today for us, getting the audio disseminated, celebration is over. Preparation is here. I'm guessing he did not think of those words off the top of his head. That was very purposeful.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at it, we're in a unique situation. And, you know, I think how do you repeat success? I think you got to look at what made you successful. And I think it goes down to routines, your habits, and things you do daily. Doesn't matter what people say, the distractions. You know, if you can do that day by day, it doesn't matter how you feel. You know, a lot of good things can happen. But it is difficult. You know, I think the thing about being where we're at is that there are a lot of distractions. And I do think that it is probably harder dealing with success than it is failure. Because failure is the ultimate. I mean, it's a huge motivator. But, you know, the other side of the coin is challenging as well.
Was 2018 too. And 2023, is that part of why you say that? Because the team did not. I mean, you were excellent in 23 until you weren't. Yeah. In 2018, I honestly never felt you guys were excellent. You got on a nice playoff run, but I never felt you played really at the level of 2017.
Yeah.
You've experienced it. So how real and tough is it to maintain that level of dominance?
Well, each team's different. So from Super Bowl teams, you lose so many guys, free agency. So, you know, some of that nucleus is broken up a little bit. But, yeah, what I do remember about that year is we started off not very good in 18, finished pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, had a chance to go to the NFC Championship game. And then 2020 or 2022 or 3 started off hot and then took a dumpster dive in the end. But through both of those, I think what I remember most is just being distracted. I think, you know, trying to achieve, you know, hit a home run every game, you know, just trying to be a hero every game instead of just playing the game for what it is.
Wow. How do you avoid that trap this time out?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's healthy talking about it. I think it's human nature to want to experience the relief factor. Okay, I've achieved my goal. Now what? Take a breath. But the realization is you got to get back to what made you great, man. Why are we here? You know, and so it
goes
down to that.
You look like you're in pretty good shape. I mean, that's part of your equation.
Yeah, well, I know that if I'm not, I'm going to get it's going to be some rough days out there. So, but no, I mean, to your point, you know, talking about it and then, yeah, I mean, how do we attack it? How can we get to, you know, a similar level as last year? And it's a day-by-day process, and it's probably harder now with all the distractions.
We're talking about, to start the show, what we're most excited about for this season for your team. What are you most excited about for this season for your team?
I guess for the O-line room, the thing I was excited about most was Landon got some, not recliners, but some big little sofas for us. And so
like petite, like love seat
and
for
it's,
each guy?
Yeah. Well, we got five in right now. We got to add some more and get the tables organized.
Wow.
So yesterday was day one, so that was the most excited I've been in probably
this is groundbreaking. That's an incredible idea.
Something so small,
Because normally these guys were at just desks, like school desks or you know, like normal chairs, you know, seats that are in an auditorium type chairs.
And you're not Devontae
sixth and seventh grade chairs.
Guys this size. So that's such a great idea.
And I'm one of the smaller guys, so like, you know, Jordan so Mulata goes through a chair, he may not be able to find all the pieces, you know. So
that's unbelievable, man.
Wow. I was very excited. You know, just getting back around all the guys, you know, a lot of time in the offseason we're training, doing our own thing, but getting around the group and, you know, laughing and grinding together, man. That's what it's really all about.
So, Lane, I know you've got natural leadership, obviously. We've heard from you for so many years. But do you also sense that, well, you'll do a lot on your own. Do you sense that people like Nick and Jeff Stoutland seek you out to say, hey, you've been through twice our team reaching the Super Bowl, as a franchise at least, I want you to really actively seek out other guys and explain to them the process of the rebound?
Yeah, you know, every year we have a kind of a leadership group, and, you know, we talk about all these things. So, yeah, you know, we discuss a lot there. And then, you know, I guess how I lead, you know, I'll do a lot one-on-one. You know, I'll do some talking in the group, of course, but you know, the other way is more my style. I feel like I can reach guys at a deeper level that way and, you know, do it without eyes or the criticism of other players on them. So, you know, you do that and attack it kind of day by day, and, man, you can make a lot of ground.
Lane, how does Stoutland lead? I mean, we know he instructs, and his instruction's incredible, but how – take us in the room, him the person. How does he lead?
Yeah, I mean, it's – I don't want to sound – cliche, but I mean, he reminds me of Burgess Meredith, and you know, being Mickey, like, you know, what made Mickey so good is how just, you know, how he was attacking every day was just crazy about training, and then, you know, how much he cared about his players. Mickey cared about Rocky. It's like how, you know, Stout cares about his players. So, you know, I think guys, why our teams are so good, is just, you know, the second team, third team, whatever guys are in, whenever their name has been called, they've been treated like the starter. So, whether we're in meetings, before games, you know, you watch us do our drills out there. So everybody's doing the same thing. It doesn't matter if you're who you are. We're all doing the same thing. And, you know, I think his best trait is how much he cares about players and how he studies the psychology of how to motivate players, and, you know, each player is different. So he gets behind that, and, you know, every player he approaches a little bit differently.
So we're all curious about how the offense will feel and look different with Kevin Pitullo as the play caller. I know it's only been the off season, you know, the activities, but how does the offense feel different right now?
Man, it feels, you know, we'll have our first day running around, but, you know, Kevin's been here this whole time, and he's been side by side with whatever coordinator we've had. He's been implemental in passing game, and really, you know, I see it as a pretty, you know, efficient change of guard. You know, he's I feel like he understands his players really well.
How much is the language changing?
You know, there's some changes, but, you know, a lot of football is staying the same. And, you know, I think the thing is just trying to mix it up where we're not predictable. You know, and teams really in the offseason, man, that's where they make a lot of, you know, they're doing everything they can to.
Sure.
So just knowing that. But I think, you know, the experience and just his, you know, he's a great communicator with his players too. So, you know, I think this year is going to be really special.
What do you focus on improving individually at this point in your career, at Hall of Fame career? What can you get better at?
I think being, I guess, more open to my guys, I guess. I guess I have more fun. I guess I walk around kind of uptight. Serious,
you
I guess.
Forget to have fun?
No, I mean, I talk about in practice. Practice real serious, but when it's over, just, you know, enjoying my time that I have more.
Sure.
But for me, it's really, you know, keeping the body up, having the routine. I think just, you know, bringing the guys that are in the room with me. So,
do you think about the Hall of Fame, Lane?
Yeah, I mean, it's a certain possibility, but it's something that's going to be, you know, after I retire and have many fishing trips and many vacations. So it'll be at a different point in my life. But, yeah, it would be special. But it's something that I know is, you know, in the distance. So
just make sure you have an August weekend 5 years after you retire. Just have August open 5 years later.
Yeah, the August has been a John, you know, August has been a somber month for a lot of athletes throughout their lifetime. So yeah, it'll be a different perspective.
That's awesome.
Sure.
So Lane, speaking of different perspectives, we can get because I'm an athlete. You know, John knows him. You know, John was an athlete. I'm an athlete. Devin, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, not me.
But Lane, athletes like you and me, I mean, we go through the battles, and I've got a.
You shouldn't talk like that.
I've got a groin-ish injury, and maybe the psoas might be the adductor. Yep. I had to get the injection 2 days ago. Yep. Some people are denying that I got the injection. I got the injection.
Yep.
We know you've dealt with some groin injury. What advice would you give? Because I've got a big tennis match next Tuesday against Jack Fritz.
Yep.
So, what advice would you give me in battling through the injury?
Get Dr. William Myers to call. He's probably half a mile down the road. He fixed me up well. So
he's my doctor. He's my guy.
I think, what you're going to experience, some scar tissue popping, and you're going to think, did I re-tear it again? You know, and you'll be okay. And then, you just take it day by day.
And I'm going to whoop Fritz's ass, right?
Sometimes it doesn't matter what the injury
is. You don't have to agree, Lane.
Okay.
You don't have to.
Look, more importantly, so you guys whoop the Cowboys' ass opening night. I got two ideas for you. Lane's got to go because all the festivities with the Birds are cranking up soon. Two ideas for you opening night. You may not publicly embrace them, but I'm gonna say them. Number one, with the unveil of the that thing that says the Super Bowl champions, right?
Yeah.
Because if you remember last time, it's a cloth is removed, and then there it is. So idea number one, cloth is removed, and first it says Dallas sucks. And then another cloth is removed, and then it says Super Bowl champs. I'm just putting that one. I just want you to consider taking that to the Howies and the Lories and the Sirianis. Idea number two, right before kickoff, a little ceremony, a little coin flip, the whole deal. Brandon Graham ambles out to midfield, a ceremonial captain. He's holding not one, but two Lombardi trophies. Now, I know Nick might say that's not our thing. I just want you to know that's the Hammers thing. Again, just for your assessment, recommendation, take it to the crew if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how much jurisdiction he has over BG now. I think he can get those trophies. Got to do whatever he wants to.
I don't want you to put bulletin board material out there for Dallas. All right, I'm trying to protect you. I'm just saying those are ideas from me to you to the organization.
Man, I remember, as long as they don't, I remember one year we had like two 2013 division champs up there, and I was like, nobody looked at that before it's hanging up for 2 years. It took people 2 years to change this banner off here.
Wow.
Yeah, that was up. That was up. I don't know if I have a picture of it, but I was going. It bugged me so much, I wanted to stay till the stadium cleared to go out there and change it myself.
That's funny.
As long as they don't do that.
Get that down for you.
That's great. Hey, Lane, stay well. We admire you. We appreciate you as Philadelphia sports fans. We wish you the very best of luck, both with good health this year and excellence again on the field for you individually in the squad. And go get him, man. Good luck, pal.
Yep. Thank y'all. And see y'all at practice.
You got it. Lane Johnson. Big guy, future Hall of Famer, and obviously one of the greats in Philadelphia sports. Let's welcome the phenomenal all-pro linebacker of the Philadelphia Eagles, who had a season last year, a season for the ages, and certainly we're hoping just to keep it rolling. He got the new contract, and what a splash debut last year, his first year in Philadelphia, Mr. Zach Bond. Zach, good morning. Welcome to WIP. How are you, bud?
I'm great. Good morning. Thanks for having me. This is awesome. I love coming in this trailer and talking with you guys.
Well, I appreciate that, man.
It's awesome.
It's really our pleasure. Let me tell you, man, it was such a pleasure to watch you play last year. I mean, it had to exceed your wildest expectations, right? And I don't mean – we'll get to the team, but like John played with Rich Gannon, who I thought had one of the stranger careers I've ever seen. John, he was about 10 years in and then became an all-pro and maintained that for 5 or 6 years, that level.
Yeah, he was the MVP of the league.
Yeah.
I mean, at like – 38 years old.
And I thought that was about as strange. I mean, Zach, for you to go from, a lot of backup, different positions, special teams guy, to star linebacker, that had to wildly exceed your expectations, right?
Yeah, a lot of times when I sit back and reflect, I look at myself from outside, kind of outside my body and what I've done. Even during games, I run out of the tunnel every game, and I'm like, holy crap, I can't believe this is my life.
Wow.
It's super special, and I never take it for granted, but I think it's a good story just of perseverance, keep working, and keep grinding even when you're not seeing those results. And eventually when you get the opportunity, you take advantage.
I just want to say it's an amazing story. And we all were in awe of what you accomplished. Thrilled for all of us as Philadelphia sports fans, thrilled for the organization. But I just want you to know we've seen a lot as Philadelphia sports fans. I don't think, John, we had ever seen anything like it. Zach, hats off to you for what you did. And as you pointed out, to grind, because you have to put yourself in a position to keep being available to make that turn in your career, that was really admirable, man.
It's not just us as Philadelphia fans, it's the NFL. You don't see a guy do what you did, switch positions. It just doesn't happen. Everything is so cut and dry and set in place and set in stone in many cases, and people say, it can't be any other way but this. And then something different happens, and someone is better than that, and that's Zach Bond, and boom. I think it's a really interesting conundrum, though, this year, Zach. When you have that much success like last year, all pro out of nowhere, is there this strange drive to do everything exactly the same as you did it last year, where you don't want to leave any stone unturned doing it just like that? Because it worked so well before.
I think it's more of trying to be a better overall player. Just like the Super Bowl, you hear a lot of guys and a lot of coaches say, that was last year, leaving in the past. And everyone starts at square one this year. So I've really chopped my game down to the basics and the fundamentals of my game. Just trying to improve every year, really.
Wow. Is that Is that possible? Well, how do you make your game better when you're the best in the NFL? Basically, they told you last year as an all-pro that you're the best in the NFL at what you do. How are you going to be better at doing that this year?
It's tough because that was my first year playing inside backer, like a whole season. In my mind, I'm just trying to be better and better and better, and I'm not the best, and I keep reminding myself that I'm not the best because there's
But they told you that you're the best.
Yeah, but that's them. That's you guys, and it's in my mind, I'm definitely not the best, and I'm far from it.
So the 4 years as a special teams and part-time starter thing, that's still in your mind psyche-wise, right? That you were that guy longer than you were this guy.
Yeah, and I keep having this conversation in my mind recently on if you can teach instincts. I think it's a fallacy that you can't teach instincts. I think I'm a product of teaching instincts and learning instincts in the game.
Wow, that's so interesting because you do always hear that. Guys, you either have it or you don't. You got the instincts right. Or you don't. When you switch positions as disparate as those positions are, you're either an edge rusher where it's go get the quarterback, or you're an off-ball inside linebacker where you're telling him and him and him and him what to do, and you have to fit into not just the run fits but the zone drops and everything else. It is as different as it gets. You had to reprogram every instinct.
Was Fangio big in teaching you those instincts? Like learning that stuff.
Yeah, but I think two things. The player has to have it in him. Like you kind of have to have that dog in you, and at linebacker especially. And then two, the coaches have to believe in you to give you those reps, to let you develop those instincts. And here it just all made sense. I got the reps. I had the opportunity to start in a competition, and I just took advantage. I went all in.
Isn't there a more willingness to actually give extra oomph when you hit people? When you're a special teams guy, you're more willing to sacrifice, I think, than a star player is. You know, like you learned it the hard way, and you know every time a hit happens, both guys are going to hurt a little bit. You know, you just want to hurt him a little bit more. Like special teams, you've been there and you've done that. You've done it all. Yeah. You've done the worst. Like basically, like you mopped the bathroom floor every day on your way up, and now doing that stuff, it doesn't feel as difficult. Like you still know that you can do that, but man, you've got a balance of skills that no one has seen in this league for the longest time. That, like, how do you balance that? Like, it is important to remember that and have confidence in yourself, but it doesn't seem like this is registering to you that the all-pro, that you are the best at something that is so incredibly difficult and people celebrate.
Yeah, you can see when you're talking about the all-pro stuff, I kind of look away and I don't want to take the praise, but I thank you for it.
You got it, man.
Playing special teams, you have to have that dog in you, because every hit is a big hit, especially with the old kickoff rules when you were just running down 60 yards and not stopping and hitting somebody. But at linebackers, it's the same thing. You got to be able to put your face in the fan and.
True.
You have to enjoy it. You have to be crazy enough to enjoy it.
Zach Bond with us here on WIP as the Eagles have their third day of training camp today, their second practice. Zach, in the offseason, we were nervous they may not keep you. Not that they wouldn't want to, but it just might not financially work out. Were you nervous? February, were you nervous that you might not be back?
Yeah, I was nervous. Free agency is a scary thing to head into, and I was really hoping we could get something done before then.
Did it feel good to be, I'll say, the prioritized player? Like, Milt Williams got more money. He got great money. You got great money. Josh Sweat got great money. It seemed to us that they prioritized you in the midst of a bunch of great players. Did you feel that sense of they chose me?
Yeah, it's like I said before, going into last year's free agency, the previous years, it's good to feel wanted by a team, and it's good to feel appreciated. And as a leadership council on this team, we were having a chat with Peyton Manning a couple weeks ago in the spring, and he said a paycheck or a signing bonus or a big contract isn't a reward for what you did. It's an advance for what you're about to do. Yeah. So keeping that mentality and taking it in stride.
So what I know it's very early within training camp, but you had the all-season program. What would you say is the vibe of this team? How much is it similar to this time last year? How much is it different to this time last year?
Yeah, as much as you want things to be the same, they're just not. Different players, different coaches. And we're really building that foundation now on who we are, what type of chemistry we have, what type of plays we're going to run, all stuff like that.
What is it when you're the leader of a group of young guys like this, and you got some flux right now, you know, with the injuries, you don't know when yeah. certain guys are going to come back. You're sort of like the standard, the guy who everyone's looking to. How do you lead a group of young guys that you're just getting to know right now? I mean, you had one OTA prior to training camp.
Yeah, in my mind, everyone's a friend until you everyone's got my respect until you show me otherwise. So I'm treating everyone with respect. And obviously, I'm not the U-rah-rah, the N'Kobe Deans, the Brandon Grahams. That's just not me, and I've keep having this conversation on myself to what type of leader I want to be and who I am versus who I am. I'm a lead by as an example guy, but definitely willing to use my voice.
Do you feel as your stature has gone up that the coaches will want you to use that voice more?
You are the
established guy at linebacker. Like, you are. I know that might be 12 months ago something you didn't envision, but you are. Do you sense that they lean on you a little more there?
I don't really sense it, but I want to myself, honestly.
What prevents you from losing sight of what's important? What keeps you so unbelievably locked in?
What keeps the main thing
because
the main thing?
It's going to, like, everyone is now, it's very different. Being a special teams guy, being an all-pro guy, like, it is now the dream of dreams. You have achieved at the highest level, and everyone wants to reward you and remind you how amazing you are. So how do you keep your head on straight?
Yeah,
because clearly you do.
Yeah, my wife Allie is big into the astrology signs.
Ah.
I'm born in late December, and I was born at so and so time. It makes me a Capricorn, and I guess Capricorns do things not for the attention of others, but just internally. So I'm just wired that way. Like, I just want to be good for myself.
Wow.
I just want to be better myself because I know I can be. Like when I was playing special teams, I knew that physically I had all the tools. I knew I was athletic enough and I could do what the big time guys were doing. But it was just mentally, and it was just a grind every day to get better.
Wow.
Well, you sure did it.
Well, Zach, we congratulate you on a remarkable year last year, both individually and as a squad. From afar, you know, because we didn't know you on a personal level, but we admired what we sensed you were bringing to the table behind the scenes. You know, we could hear that and see that, we think. And getting to know you more today, man, it's done nothing but confirm what I thought. And I wish you the best of luck this year, man, for you personally, individually, for the squad. Town's very excited, and we hope it's a special year for you. Thank you, Zach.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You got it, man. There he is, all-pro linebacker.
That was it?
Zach Vaughn.
I could keep talking to you guys.
You want to hang for the whole hour. You want to hang because we got a commercial.
They kind of want you to go out there and beat some people
you
up.
You got it.
Jordan Mailata, Eagles left tackle, joining us now. Tom Kelly, Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show. Jordan, how was practice today, man?
Oh, mate, it was a good one. Not steamy. I think it was just everything. The amount of reps, everything just kind of added up, and, mate, just sweated a bunch.
Yeah,
I just felt so depleted out there, and I thought I did a great job yesterday of hydrating.
Is it hard to kind of work back into it? I mean, you've been off for, what, 5 months here since February? How hard is it to get back in the flow of everything?
There's only so much cardio you can do, man, to be honest. There's nothing like football shape. Uncle will tell you that.
Yeah.
Uncle will tell you that.
I caught it.
The OG
straight.
Over here.
I'm just saying, football shape, there's nothing like it.
No, yeah, it's not.
That's the only way you can get conditioned, is just being out here on the paddock and just
the
giving
paddock,
it your all.
That's a new one.
That's what I call it. You've never heard of the paddock?
No, I have never paddock.
What about the barn?
The barn?
The barn.
Nah, that's a good one, too. Now, this is the question I have for you, because you guys are laser focused. So you got your rings Friday, right? Friday.
Yeah.
So when did the mindset flip for you?
It flipped probably 2 weeks, maybe less than that after
before
the
you
Super
got
Bowl.
The, before you got the ring, it flipped.
Yep.
Like because I'm curious because I've never experienced that. Right. Those rings are insanely huge and they're beautiful, and to have that, and then like get that on a Friday and go to camp Wednesday. You telling me you were already in the mindset that you were getting ready for the next season?
OTAs, we all came back week one OTAs, and we had the same mission, the same mm-hmm. mindset. That's where that mentality comes from, and then we drill it every week in OTAs, and then you believe it.
So this is what I think from my assessment. I heard you speak yesterday, and
did you read the subtitles?
I did not. No, it's like
did.
A couple things.
You
that
did,
you
did,
said.
You definitely read the subtitles.
Let me tell you a couple things that you said. They had to bleep out because you were the potty. You was the potty mouth.
Sorry,
you did
I was.
The potty mouth. But it's okay.
Sorry.
You're being you. But my question to you is: when Jalen said what he did, he put the ring on. Are you guys chasing greatness? Like, do you realize that when you look at your team? And the way that it's been put together, all of you guys are in your prime. Like, when you look at all the stars that you have, the offensive line and everybody, you guys are in your prime. And, you know, I know you don't like to use the R word or anything like that.
What's
so
R word? What's
you,
R
you,
word?
You said you told everybody yesterday not to use the word. So I'm not going to use it. But so the word that I'm going to use
that's right.
is chasing greatness.
Yeah. That is a mentality that I always had because of Lane Johnson, and mm-hmm. it just carries on over. That's the culture. That's how you see it. I guess that's a great way of putting it. Yes, we are chasing greatness.
Yeah, because you didn't want to. You told everybody yesterday not
always.
To use the R word.
Always.
Or you can't say back to back either. Can't say back to back.
Yeah, that's for like fans.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Fans and ex-players, you know, like.
And my mic just went dead. I did something. My mic just
George,
went dead.
George, to follow up on that a little bit here. Obviously, you're a guy. You've been around a little bit of time now. But how important is it to get that message across to some of the younger guys in the league who haven't, you know, been around as much to kind of have that mindset? Is every year is, you know, unto itself?
I'll be honest, I couldn't hear anything about the question because all I could hear was Uncle saying, my mic's cut out. I can't. Can you guys hear me?
My bad. Because I lost my headphones, but I mean, since y'all can hear me, it don't make no difference.
But it's easy. It's easy because I had that locker room coming in with Jason Kelce, BG, Fletcher Cox, even go down the list from 2018. We can go back to even when Carson was here, you know?
Yep.
So, like, those guys had that same mentality of chasing greatness. And
for
me, it was easy.
You can keep that, by the way. You can use that.
I'll be honest. I was using it way before you.
Okay.
We can roll the tape back, baby.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah,
chasing
fine.
Greatness, because that's what I call Lane. When people say that I'm the greatest tackle in the league, I say, nah, you can't tell me that. Because the greatest tackle.
You're all right.
Exactly. I'm all right. Because the greatest tackle in the league is Lane Johnson. And until I can be better than Lane Johnson, then I'll be the greatest tackle in the league.
Y'all both pretty formidable.
Yeah, but I'm not the greatest tackle in the league. It's Lane Johnson, and I call that chasing greatness.
Well, then, I think we can agree that you're both great.
No, I'm right. He has no idea how hard Lane works and sacrifices for this team.
There you go. But, Jordan, one of the other things I wanted to ask you about, there's that epic mic'd up moment during the Super Bowl where you get Jalen in his face after he throws a touchdown to Devontae.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jalen's talked about all the time. There's this list, there's that list. Does it bother you the way Jalen gets talked about in the media sometimes?
It does, but then it doesn't, because I'm just like, they don't know. They're not here. Couldn't give a damn. But it does. It does bother me the way people can just say that comfortably.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can people just say that so, like, high?
Yeah.
So easy.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're just like, well, nothing I could do. They're not here. They're not in this building. We don't care. Keep it pushing.
And you know what the worst part about that is? I hear a lot of people that say they used to play the game. And know how hard it is to play that position. Mm. I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. That's the way I feel about it.
You can name names if you want. I feel like that's what you're trying to do.
No, I'm not. But it's one of those things where it's like, I respect everybody's opinion. It doesn't have to jive with mine. But when you hear it, it's always interesting when you look at, like, pundits that used to be, you know, my contemporaries that do it, and you're like, huh. People tend to forget when they crack the mic. They tend to forget certain things. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But it does bother us. I'll say us, but that's the beauty of the way it starts head down. It's team focused. It's block all the noise, block all the white noise, and as monotonous as it gets, because it gets monotonous, it just becomes routine to keep it pushing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. And another thing I wanted to ask you about, Jordan, just as you're playing last season, and last season, I know we're looking at this year, but as an offensive lineman, how fun was it to watch what Saquon Barkley was able to do last year and watch him, you know, just break games open time and time again?
Man, that was truly a special season. To be able to witness greatness. And, you know, it's still crazy that Saquon's an Eagle. Still think about it. Even this year, rolling up to OTAs, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. He's on our team.
It's pretty nice seeing him
it's
out there,
nice,
isn't
man.
It?
And, man, I was incredibly lucky to be a part of, you know, some greatness like that and be a part of history, too. So just incredibly thankful he's on our team.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
He makes our lives easier, that's for sure.
Definitely. And one more here for you, Jordan. But you talked about Lane Johnson and how influential he has been for you. Jeff Stoutland's become kind of like a cult-like figure here in Philadelphia as far as this guy's reputation and what he's been able to do. Just how much has Jeff Stoutland meant to you, and how much does he mean to this organization?
It's hard to put it in words. I love Stouty, man. I see him like my dad. You know, my dad's not here. He's in Australia, and every time when he was teaching me when I was a young pup, I would just see the similarities. And so over time, he just became like a father figure to me, and I love and respect that man so much, like he is my father.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's an awesome story, man. I mean, you coming over and not having all that kind of a football experience. And, I mean, Jeff Stoutland, he's been here over a decade now. Yeah. Incredible stuff. So, but
he means a lot to these people. There is a cult out there. There is a cult out there.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I've heard it.
Everybody loves Jeff Stoutland. But Jordan Mailata, giving us a few minutes after practice. Thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for tolerating Hugh. We appreciate
it. Hugh's my favorite person. Oh, there we go. I finally gave up the answer. Shoot.
Love you too, man.
Oh, love you too, Uncle.
Well, there you go. Jordan Mailata joining us for a few minutes.
Let's talk to Sean Couturier. He has become the longest tenured athlete in Philadelphia sports, about to enter year 14 with the Orange and Black. By the way, tickets for individuals Flyers games go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. And obviously with year two of Michkov and year one of Rick Tocchet, there's, I think it's very fair to say, heightened not only awareness but interest in the Flyers and excitement about the coming season. And Sean Couturier has been around the longest. He is the captain of your Orange and Black, Mr. Sean Couturier. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Good, Sean. We're excited to have you on the program, man. So, you know, we talk a lot, obviously, in recent, you know, days about the Phils and their season and the Eagles, obviously, with the title. We're all hoping, Sean, that you guys join that group of, you know, elite in Philly sports. Now, let's go back to when it started for you and now where it's at, because when you came here, you guys were good. And obviously, the last 10 years or so, for the most part, have been tough. So you got to be yearning to get back to what you experienced in your early 20s. How do you do it? A lot of moves have been made. Feels like the club's now finally on the right track. How do you go from where you were the last 5-6 years to where you want to be? Where Rick Tocchet as a player was, by the way.
Yeah, it's been a while. I feel that we've had some big hype and some really high expectations. Like you said, I think my first year, when we had Jager, G was coming out.
Yeah.
Hartnell, Voracek, Zimmer, Schenner. We had quite a team there. And that first year, I feel we really thought we were going all the way, and then we got kind of surprised there in the second round by Jersey. But and then we've been there but not quite for the last, like you said, 10-12 years. And we've had some good years along the way. Never made kind of a true push, but I really feel that things are starting to turn around. I know it's been a rebuild these last couple of years, but you know, it's exciting to see finally these young guys coming to into their own and filling out their potential. And I'm tired of losing, and you know, I wanna be back in the playoffs and play some huge games, and there's nothing better than playing playoff hockey in front of the Philly fans. So really looking forward to that.
Cap, how nice is it to play for a head coach who also had so much success as a player himself? Stanley Cup as a player, but then also success as an assistant. Yeah. Stanley Cup as an assistant, as cups plural. As a player, how nice it is to play for a guy like that who's been there and done that.
Yeah, it's going to be the fun. Really looking forward to learn from him. And like you said, he's got quite the resume as a player, and as a coach, he's done quite well for himself as well. So you know, there's a lot of things to learn from, and you know, he knows what it takes to win it. I think he relates really well with his players, just from the fact that he's played the game and he's had quite some success as a player. So really looking forward to getting going and getting to work with him and you know, turning things around.
Sean, speaking of turning things around, do you feel, because I feel this, I'm curious if you do, the renewed energy amongst the fans? I mean, I think, you know, the Jonesy thing and the Briere thing kind of started it a few years ago, but the team wasn't ready yet. The Michkov thing was a big thing. The Tocchet thing's the next sort of big thing. You've had some acquisitions this offseason that have obviously generated, I'd say, renewed interest. Do you feel that the fans are feeling that? Do you sense that?
I do, and I think it all starts from way up top, Dan Hilferty, since he's taken over. Like you said, he's hired Jonesy, Danny B, and it just triggers down. It's that I think that effect that kind of rubs off everyone, and he wants to be close to the fans and be honest with everyone, and you can feel that passion again and that excitement. And you know, it almost reminds me a little bit of Mr. Snyder when he was there. So, you know, it's fun to see.
Jonesy, we worked with him here, and he's hilarious. What's it like? What's he like running the organization now?
Oh, he's the best. He's great. He's calm. He's funny. He's just a great guy to be around, and he's always the same. I don't think he's changed much since being you know, president as he was probably working with you guys. So he's fun to be around. He's probably the most positive guy in the organization, and it's nice to have him, you know, close to us as well. He's not just upstairs in his office. He likes to come to the rink and be around the players and know what's going on, and awesome. You know, that I feel that connection really, you know, helps players to kind of just adapt to the environment.
It's incredible. You know, I'm thinking, Sean, as I'm sitting here next to my buddy John Ritchie, who played for the Eagles and the Raiders, played for guys like Al Davis as an owner, Joe Banner, a team president, Andy Reid and John Gruden, a head coach. I'm guessing, John, that those four weren't one of the guys. because Sean, the Jonesy we experienced here was one of the guys. I mean, he's saying he's just one of he's team president, but he's just one of the guys. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, like you said, there's you know, he likes to make connections and get close to players, make people feel comfortable, and talk to be open to talk to. So it was a little different than with John, that's for sure.
Awesome.
Phenomenal.
Well, Sean, we're looking forward to the coming season. Obviously, training camp and the preseason, then the regular season games, and we hope postseason this year. Reminder to everyone listening, single-game tickets for the Flyers go on sale tomorrow, 10 a.m. That's 10 a.m. tomorrow for tickets to the home opener or any of the games. Home opener is Monday, October 13th. As the Flyers with Sean and the squad take on the Florida Panthers in mid-October. But for tickets to that or any of the games, you can get yourself to PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. That's PhiladelphiaFlyers.com.
The best of interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.